Sam, if you are a investor who is saving and accumulating money, how would you suggest someone like that invest in today's markets?
Well, I think what they have to do, they have to work with an advisor to find out, to really put into the equation, what is my goal? What is my time frame? What is my risk tolerance? In a sense, think of the stock market, if you will, as an amusement park. You have to decide whether you prefer being on the merry-go-round or the roller coaster, and always keep your eye on the overall goal. We are now more than 6 years into this bull market. There have only been two times since World War II that we celebrated our seventh birthday. As I mentioned earlier in the broadcast, that we've gone 44 months without a decline of 10% or more. So what I'm trying to say is don't go too far out on the risk curve. I would say make sure you have enough equity exposure for your long-term goals, because we're still in an environment in which equities are the more attractive investment alternative. Higher interest rates usually sort of scare investors from adding to bond exposures or to real estate investment trust exposures at this point. But equities, they still offer growth potential. They do offer a dividend yield. So it's what I call a TINA market, T-I-N-A. There is no alternative.
Sam, what about someone who has saved enough money to retire and has built up life savings to where they feel they have an adequate supply of funds to retire? How do you tell a person like that to invest in today's markets with, you know, markets at all-time highs and interest rates at all-time lows?
When nothing looks attractive, then that's when you have to own everything. I think you own equities, you maintain your exposure to the fixed income that we discussed. Maybe you even want to try to make sure that if Social Security can't guarantee a monthly income stream, then maybe an annuity might do so. But I do believe that if you want to lock in an income stream that will last as long as you do, you certainly want to consider all investment vehicles, with annuities being one of them.
Go back to rates for just a minute here. If rates start rising, what will that do to the stock market?
Well, that's the $64,000 question, and I guess just by my mentioning that, I've shown my age. But with interest rates going up, investors automatically think, oh, that's going to be a bad thing. Well, is it really? What does a rising interest rate environment imply? It implies that the economy is improving. If the economy improves, then corporate earnings are likely to grow. And if corporate earnings are likely to grow, then companies can invest in themselves more, can engage in increasing dividends, and as a result, pushing share prices higher. So when we start to see interest rates drift higher, then it usually is a positive indication because of the underlying implications. What worries investors is when the Fed is raising rates a bit too aggressively, then investors worry, uh-oh, what is that going to do to our overall economy? Because if we see the dollar strengthening because our interest rates are going up relative to foreign interest rates, and therefore the U.S. becomes more attractive to foreign investors, our dollar is going to be rising. When our dollar rises, that makes our exports less attractive overseas, and that also ends up slowing overall economic growth. So that's why the Fed has to be very careful about how quickly they start to raise interest rates. Also, as rates rise, then bonds again become more attractive from a substitution or an alternative standpoint. So I usually find the line in the sand at about 5% for the 10-year yield. Once we get above that level, then investors start saying, okay, maybe it's time for me to start looking at bonds once again. But with us right now having a dividend yield on the S&P 500 that is very close to the yield on the 10-year note, that actually is still relatively positive. Historically, whenever that has happened, whenever the yield on the 10-year note has been less than 1 percentage point above the yield on the S&P 500, the market has gone up an average of 13% in the coming 12-month period. Of course, that's not a guarantee that that'll happen this time around, but what it implies is that interest rates are so low that it still makes stocks very attractive relative to bonds.
Sam, I'm here in Houston, Texas, and as Hollywood, California is the Hollywood of movies, we like to say here in Houston that Houston is the Hollywood of oil. So folks in Houston are really concerned about what happens with the oil price. Sam, where do you see the price of oil heading?
Oil is one of those things where I find very few people who can accurately project where it's going. Our expectation is that for all of this year, yeah, we see oil prices averaging around $50 to $55 a barrel. Next year, put that up by about $10, $60 to $65 per barrel. I think that the big decline that we saw had more to do with the supply-demand imbalance than it did a precursor of a global recession. Certainly, we've had global economic growth be less than long-term trend, but I still think that the countries around the world in the majority are in expansion mode, not in recessionary or contraction mode. So I would tend to say that oil has already seen its bottom and that we're looking to find a firmer footing for oil prices going forward.
Sam, what do you think about what's going on in the Eurozone? I have clients ask me quite often, you know, what, Ryan, if Greece leaves the euro, what's it going to do? What's it going to do to the markets and the global economy and our stock market here in the U.S.?
Well, people ask me, is Greece going to leave the euro? I jokingly say it's a fait accompli. I know, a bit of a cheesy joke there. But I think that's the real question. It sounds as if the Greek government is trying to sound like a contract negotiator with the debt holders of their, you know, their obligations, trying to squeeze out the best terms as possible. Europe doesn't want Greece to leave the euro, mainly because of what it might signal to other countries that are having challenges, that are repaying debt obligations to the ECB, the European Central Bank, Italy being another one, Portugal being one that's of concern. Not that Greece is that big of a deal. Actually, it's no larger than a couple of counties in California. But it really is a concern because of the message that it'll send to other countries within the European Union. So I think that if Greece does leave the euro, then we end up with a short-term spike downward. It ends up being sort of a shock to confidence. But once we find out that it's really not going to have that much of an impact on overall economic growth, because let's face it, a country with very little economic growth and big debt has just left the euro, we might find that if the other countries remain steadfast members of the euro, then I think investors will get their footing once again and we move higher.